So let's go ahead and move on from quadrants to lines. And everything in nature grows, everything evolves, and growth occurs in different degrees of complexity. And in human beings, there are a dozen or more different types of psychological systems that grow and develop. And each one of these systems represents a talent or capacity or gift or a way of adapting to the world that has grown and evolved over the years, over the centuries, over the millennia. And these include certainly the ones that have been investigated by Howard Gardner under the term multiple intelligences, but they also include really just any component of the human being in the world that grows and develops and that has a particular capacity in interacting with the world. And integral coaching works with about a half dozen of these developmental lines. And these are the cognitive, the emotional, the somatic, the interpersonal, the spiritual, and the moral. And the cognitive line basically just tells you what is. It's the basic form of awareness of what is. Emotional line is a whole spectrum of emotions and affects and feeling tones that human beings can develop. Somatic is body-mind awareness from very low and primitive to quite high and sophisticated. Interpersonal is how I socially relate to others. Spiritual is that awareness that handles items of ultimate concern, thoughts and judgments and ideas and feelings about what I consider to be of ultimate concern. And then moral is that which deals with what to do in terms of the good or the right. And these half dozen lines go through general development, and integral coaching takes a generalized approach to development at this point and talks about low, medium, and high development in each of these six lines, because that's enough really to get done what needs to get done,
right,
in terms of orienting the person to the intelligence that they're using and pointing out whether they are, in fact, you know, well-developed or poorly developed and what that means for them. So this is a crucial component of looking at as well as looking as the client, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And this one is a lovely complement to the quadrant lens in looking at different kinds of capacities.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that we find it's really helpful is that it helps the coach understand what the client actually has available to them.
Right.
You know, in these areas, what capacity do they have, what do they have access to, and then how skilled are they in it?
Right.
And that helps the coach understand, okay, so what's available? And that can help, in some cases, explain the topic. It can also help understand how the client's approaching the topic, because they're going to try and lead with whatever's their highest areas, if you will.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, show up with the areas that are lower that don't quite have the same degree of capacity. So that can also color the consequences or the impacts or the results in that coaching topic.
Right.
So one is it helps the client appreciate the client's unique profile. And two, there's three other things, but the second one is that it then helps the coach understand, okay, what scale is realistic for this client?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the client has a really low level of somatic development. So the coach really needs to make sure they're not approaching the work with the client as if they're at high. I mean, that would probably scare them right out of the room. But so that's one piece. But the other is, and the thing that we're always interested in, is that when you're working with a client, you don't want to have a way of working with a client that's giving them 50 things to do.
Yeah.
And we're all very full in our lives. And and so one of the other things that this lens does for us is it's helping us discern, okay, so given the topic and given their profile, if we had to pick one or two lines to emphasize, where would be the greatest leverage?
Yeah.
And that helps us kind of, not to say that all the lines aren't playing,
right,
that they're not, you know, all there,
right,
but what are the high leverage ones that if we could focus on those, something's going to move for this client. And so that then allows us to have a focus rather than saying we've got to move them all and because they're all important. And so we do find that this particular lens helps in that way quite a bit.
Right.
It's also interesting to see how the lines interact with each other, you know, to inform a practice occurring. You know, for example, a client who finds that when they get upset at a meeting, they just can't keep a lid on it. They just either explode or they, you know, really are angry with somebody at the table. And we start looking at, okay, so isn't it interesting that they also scored a low in their somatic line?
Yeah.
What kind of body needs to be built in order to support, you know, somebody who isn't exploding during a meeting?
Right.
And so to be able to look at it and go, oh, that's interesting, or being able to say, look at that on the spiritual line, we scored them low. They haven't been sitting in the kind of question of ultimate concern. And look how that's showing up over here in how they're working with their team interpersonally,
right,
in terms of, you know, touching something that's deeper for themselves and therefore being able to express that in the particular team that they're working with or their moral line. So it's also great as a profile to be able to look at each line singularly and then again to step back, you know, another degree of perspective away and say, and how do these interact with each other?
Right.
Which is very exciting, again, just even within a lens. And still then you get to step back again and say, okay, now let's look at quadrants and lines, And so, you know, it's, again, beautifully complex, and there's multiple perspectives that are available to the coach, depending on their own development, for each of these lines and then watching how these lines play out together.
Right. And again, it's part of determining, using self as instrument and getting just a generalized notion of where these individuals are on these half dozen developmental lines, is part of ascertaining the client's overall constellation. And of course, therefore, is important in determining how the coach will see as and see at the client and determine the language that the coach uses. Again, the whole idea is that a person can only understand you if they have the same tools as you do.
Exactly.
That you're talking with. And so if a person has really highly developed cognitive capacity and poorly developed spiritual capacity, then you're going to talk with them, at least at the beginning, in their current way of being, through largely cognitive terms. If you come in with a series of statements coming from a high level of development of spiritual terms and values, it's going to either not be heard or scare the daylights out of the clock.
Both, I think.
So it's really important, all of these. I mean, one of the main things about determining an aqual constellation is to determine and find elements that are going to help increase communication and make communication more skillful and more resonant, and make sure that the client hears what is being said. And the coach needs, by understanding the aqual constellation, needs to understand the languages in each of the five elements that they can speak in so that the client can hear them. And then, of course, part of what the client and the coach might decide is that they're so deficient in some of these elements, that in some of the quadrants or some of the lines or levels, that what their future self wants to be like is a self that can understand these deficient areas and has taken up practices to grow those areas. And therefore, their language will start to change. And then you can start to change into using more spiritual terminology as the client's actual aqual constellation itself, as the client's actual territory shifts and grows and develops. And these are sort of six of the areas of not only present being, but possible growth that an integral coach wants to watch.
Absolutely. And I think, too, the language for the conversations between the coach and the client are really important so that the client is able to hear, you know, what the coach is bringing forward. But it's also present in the practices. We have focus practice and foundation practices, two different kinds of practices that we use in integral coaching. And it also, the language has to show up in practice design. And in each practice design, there's usually some new activity or a new doing, and there's a reflective component. And the reflective component as well is really drawing on the current aqua constellation represented through their, you know, current way metaphor,
right,
and pushing in towards their new way. So starting to know, and a coach is always discerning, when am I using and drawing upon language that appeals to the person who I have been up until now, represented by the current way metaphor, versus the metaphor of the person who I am becoming.
Right.
And, you know, the balancing of language in practice design, focus or foundation practice, is really critical. So it's not just in the conversations, but it's then when the client has that practice that they're off on their own doing and they pull it out again, you want language that's actually going to speak right into their world,
right,
very powerfully, and, you know, push them a bit or hold them and let them just, you know, feel really comfortable in that, you know, current way of being that has served them very well.
Right. There are any number of developmental lines. There might be a dozen or even two dozen. But these six seem to cover the bases really well. And I take it that they served y'all quite well in working with them.
They seem so, Ken, as far as what we've run into. I mean, of course, you can always try and expand if you want.
Sure.
But it definitely provides a great starter set that covers most topics that we encounter.
Right.
And, you know, who knows? You know, maybe
yeah,
someday there'll be, you know, 20 that we use. But at the moment, they seem to work quite well.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to say, just to build on what you know, really beautifully described just a minute ago, as you were summarizing the dynamic that goes on through the coaching process and the development and evolution of the client, is that by using the Aqua constellation and each of the lenses themselves, but the constellation as a set, as you described, and how the coach keeps calibrating as the client develops, that alone helps minimize a coach just projecting their own view on a client.
Right.
You know, it really helps. The coach has to keep checking against this objective system called the Aqua constellation.
Right.
And get attuned to the client. So it does create some hope, or at least minimizes our tendency to project.
Right.
So I didn't know if you wanted to comment on that. Or
I think that's extremely important, and it, again, cuts down on this one-size-fits-all,
mm-hmm,
which, unfortunately, too many coaching and therapeutic models have. If the coach himself or herself is highly developed in the somatic line and poorly developed in spiritual and moral line, then what the client is going to get from that coach is how the client has failed somatically. And here are things to fix you up bodily. And you're just not enough aware of your body. You're too much in your mind. And therefore, here's things to do to make you more bodily aware. And that's all this coach is going to do, overlooking these other areas that are absolutely indispensable to human beings and to their awareness of the world around them. And so having a model that has these five elements and then many sub-elements in each of them forms an objective set against which anybody using the model will end up basically judging themselves, being aware of themselves, making judgments about how they're doing in any of these elements. And that stops a coach from merely taking their own subjective state as the ultimate end goal and projecting that onto the client. So I'm glad you brought it up, and it's an extremely important point.
Yeah, I would also add that particular point of the lack of projection that's available enables the coach as well to see the moments in their own individual pulse. So it isn't just kind of a blunt, oh, I know I tend to, you know, give out a whole ton of somatic practices because that's been the area I've been developing, that they can actually say, okay, so what's underneath that and how else is that showing up in the rest of the Aqua constellation?
Right.
So that as the coach grows in their abilities to see more and more, the instruments grow with them. You know, so as you know, in our lines definitions, you know, we've defined kind of low, medium, high around pre-conventional, conventional, and post-conventional definitions in our material.
Right.
And, you know, as coaches get more and more familiar with this lens alone, they start having three levels within a level, you know, low, medium, high.
Right.
And it starts becoming an instrument that as they grow in their own discernment, the instrument grows with them.
Right.
And so then the nuances of all their unique ways of projecting or, you know, working with their own shadow issues, that gets more and more nuanced. So what's beautiful about it is that it's scalable to a coach's own development. So whether you
right.
are a brand new coach or whether you're a very experienced coach, these instruments grow with you. And that's exciting, you know, just developmentally
right.
as a company, you know, training
right.
these coaches. It's just very exciting to know that this instrument and all these six instruments that we use meet all coaches where they are.
Right, and then allow them to grow.
Yeah.
Which does get into the issues of levels and the more rigorous look at levels. Using differentiations like low, medium, and high are perfectly adequate for a first approximation of the levels or stages or degree of growth that a particular line has gone through. In other words, the levels of consciousness that developmental lines of consciousness have gone through. But there are more sophisticated ways, and these turn out to be fairly important. Basically, we could say there's a low, medium, and high of low and medium and high.
Right.
So at nine levels or so, and different models give different numbers, and there's we usually use around 10 to 12. There are some models that have 5, 6, 7, 8 levels, but all, as long as they're based on empirical research and have some degree of evidence, any of them are fine. We tend to, following some esoteric traditions, use colors of the rainbow to name these different levels. Many models actually name the levels, but these levels are then developed usually within a particular model, and the different models of development are usually models that have vertently or inadvertently selected one multiple intelligence to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So Piaget, vertently or inadvertently, selected cognitive and did most of his research on that. Jane Lovinger selected the self-sense and did her research on that. So Claire Graves selected values, did his research on that. Lawrence Kohlberg, morals, and so on. So what we need is we put all of these developmental models on the table and sort of we notice that there's a general lining up in terms of degrees of complexity, no matter how differently the lines or the multiple intelligences are discussing their levels or stages. So a stage of growth in values could be described in quite different terms than stage of growth in cognition. But what we do notice is that both of them tend to be growing in the same direction. And they're growing in the direction of altitude. They're growing in the direction of increasing consciousness, increasing complexity. And so we can get a much more precise understanding of the degree of growth in any developmental line by actually looking at these rainbow altitudes. And we can refer to them as being red level, amber level, green level, orange level, etc., and then go in and look at the terms that are used in each of the developmental lines for those particular levels. There are some generic terms that fit all of the levels, and some that are used are egocentric, ethnocentric, worldcentric, cosmocentric, and that implies an expansion of perspectives from first person egocentric, which is all I can be aware of, to second person ethnocentric, which means I expand my perception, my identity from me to my family or my tribe, my nation. The next stage of growth is world-centric, which means I can be aware of and identify with a third person perspective, which means all human beings, regardless of race, color, sex, or creed. And then there is a The next generalized stage is cosmocentric, which is where I can be aware of all sentient beings, regardless of species, and I can find an identity with all conscious beings. So those generalized levels, again, have a lot of sublevels to them, and just depending on how much degree of detail a person needs, they can use any of these generalized models. But the altitude one itself has about a dozen colors that are useful. And what integral coaching has done is of all of the developmental lines, they've taken four, essentially, cognitive, self, values, and morals, and work with the actual level of development that those lines have reached, just because there's in values, for example, both green and teal would be described as high moral development, but their actual characteristics are extremely different. And this we see if we look at the actual levels of these lines and then determine the characteristics of each of the levels of consciousness that these lines all grow through. And we can do this with any developmental line. They all grow through these 12 levels, and we can select any number of levels that we want to use, including just shaking it back down to the simple low, medium, high levels. But in really determining characteristics, as I said, the low, medium, high sometimes just isn't really enough to get some of the dramatic differences between levels. And so working with cognitive self, values, and morals turns out to be four lines that integral coaching has selected to pay particular attention to levels with. And levels turn out to be the easiest way to really talk about a person's center of gravity. Mm-hmm. And that center of gravity means the particular altitude, the particular color or level of development that the person most identifies with. And that means the particular level, color, altitude that most of the person's multiple intelligences might have reached, for example. But determining the general altitude, whether a person is generally red, generally amber, generally orange, generally green, generally teal, turns out to be a very, very important determinant of how the person will see the world, the worldview that the person will have, the maps that the person will draw of the world, and the number of perspectives that the person can form about the world. And so levels plays an important part of the aqua constellation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's the one in my mind that's kind of it really is defining the playground that the person plays in and lives in. And that is so helpful as a coach, because it just really cuts down trying to approach something from the perspectives and capacities available to someone at a different altitude. And, you know, if I'm working with a client as if they're at the green altitude, but they really live at the amber altitude, it's just going to be excruciating for that client.
Yeah, and let me just briefly say that the middle levels of these altitudes in terms of values are red, which is tribal egocentric values, amber, which is ethnocentric, traditional, fundamentalist religious values, orange, which is modern, rational, industrial values, and green, which is pluralistic, postmodern values. And these values don't get along with each other.
No.
They are as different as night and day. And like you say, if you talk green to somebody that's at amber, or you talk orange to somebody that's at green, they are either not going to understand you or hate you.
Hate you. Either one.
Either one. It's one or the other.
Exactly.
And boy, does this altitude have a determining effect. I would agree with you that it's probably just the single most determinant factor.
Yeah, it is a major calibrator. And one of the other things that's just fun within the coaching school itself is when students start catching on to their own center of gravity, which we have them work on and really start to understand that and appreciate that, it reveals a lot for them, and it also is challenging for them.
I bet.
One of the things I do love about it is that it's helping them wake up to their biases at their own level.
Right.
Faster than they might normally.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, and it's most troublesome, I think, for people who live at the green center of gravity.
Right.
They really have to learn as a coach to generate some appreciation for people who live at orange.
Right.
Their clients who live at orange, because
right.
they just crawled out of that and
right.
they're not too happy about it.
Exactly.
And so it is helping accelerate their capacity to appreciate what is really beautiful and true at the orange center of gravity.
Right.
And how to appreciate that client's topic from that perspective and that world and
right.
work there.
Right. The green, as its other terms imply, namely pluralistic, relativistic, postmodern stage, has a view that there is no single big picture, that there are no universals, that all truths are pluralistic or relative, and that therefore you can't even draw maps like the Aqua framework.
Right.
All of those are denigrating and marginalizing, hurting human beings. Whereas, of course, the Aqua framework shows us that green, pluralistic, postmodern stage is simply one of at least 8 or 9 stages that human beings grow through. And that stage, far from really embracing the values of the other stages, hates the values of the other stages. It's completely self-contradictory.
Yeah.
And so a person being at that stage, claiming that, you know, I'm against oppression, I'm against marginalization, then you describe orange values, the previous stage, which is scientific, modern, enlightenment, individualistic values, and the postmodernists, that's exactly what they came into existence to attack.
Right. Exactly.
And they hate them.
Exactly.
And then orange, of course, came into existence to attack the previous level, which is fundamentalist mythic religion. And so science, somebody at orange can see no value in somebody at amber, even though there are enormous amounts of relative truths that are included about human interaction and existence and so on that the world's esoteric religions contain. But orange can't see them. And so it's only when you actually get to the 7th or 8th stage, depending on the model, that you get into integral or systemic stages. And the stage beyond relativistic green is, the color is teal, and it's the first of the integral, integrating, holistic vision logic stages. And those stages are described as stages that research shows they understand the importance of all of the previous values. So it's the first stage that can actually get along with all stages.
Absolutely.
And that is a profound, profound shift in awareness, and is in fact part of one of the major shifts that the integral approach is based on, is that the integral approach is taken from perspectives that are anchored in second-tier vision logic integral orientation. The first orientation, you can see the importance of all these other stages.
Absolutely. And it's also another level that people at green altitude may not like either.
Right.
Because it reintroduces hierarchy and
right.
Cutting through things more quickly, and that there are better ways. And so, you know, it's a really tough life to be living at green altitude.
Yes.
You're really perturbed by the level below you and the level above you.
Right.
Like, in a really major way.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people who are drawn to our work, who come to train with Integral Coaching Canada, are usually at second tier or higher cognitively.
Right.
And definitely green teal as a center of gravity.
Right.
In their lots. And so it's and also late stage orange, I would say, as well, exit orange.
Right.
What's hilarious, though, is, you know, as we're going through the levels, and, you know, we try to share them with students in a lot of different ways, through music. We do, like, red egocentric dancing.
Right.
And we bring in, you know, all the latest, you know, really hardcore music and we make all the signs and, you know, really, you know, dance a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're talking about the green level, we talk about, you know, how pluralistic they are, and everybody has a view and everybody has a right to have a view, and that's beautiful sensitivity,
right.
And that's a view. And
right.
When people are actually made aware that their view, that everybody has a view, it is a view,
right.
Is an eye-opening moment for, you know, people who are generally living at a green
right.
center of gravity.
Right.
And that, you know, what we love about the green center of gravity is there's a lot of sensitivity that comes online
right.
at that level that's very useful for integral coaching.
Right.
However, it's not useful if, you know, you think that, like, all we need to do is just all have views and that you're actually not going to take ownership of the discipline that you're representing, which is being an integral coach
right.
and bringing forward something that's of deep service to, you know, this person. And so what we found is that we've actually, over the years, you know, we've introduced the levels lens in a multiplicity of ways to try to enable people to embrace it versus, you know, start reacting to it. And what we found is that there's really beautiful ways in with the huge number of people who are living at green altitude or exit green that are longing for a teal or second tier life
right.
and don't exactly know how to enact that. And so it's really fabulous when you see those people have light bulbs going off in their eyes around, oh, my God, it's
right.
you too.
Right.
I never saw that. And,
right.
you know, with that kind of development, worlds open.
Yes. Yeah, I've often said that green is sort of halfway to integral. It's the first to open up to the notion that certain values can be oppressive and exclude people, be exclusionary and marginalizing, and to have as one of their goals to stop all oppression, to be all inclusive. And so they're, in a sense, their hearts are in the right place, but their heads are only halfway there.
Right.
And so understanding that their view itself is a view.
Yeah.
As you say, is one of the first real steps to understanding it, because in order to get to the stage that they're at, which is radically egalitarian, doesn't like stages at all, you have to go through at least 6 stages to get to the point where you don't like stages.
Exactly.
And at just the beginning of the performative contradictions that Green gets caught in, it's got a very big picture about why all big pictures are wrong, except, of course, its own, which is somehow magically correct for all cultures at all time for all humans.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't get a bigger picture than that, even though they deny the possibility of having any of those at all. So Green is kind of on its way to integral, but it's also the last major barrier to integral.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ironic in that the cultural creatives refer to themselves as the integral culture,
mm-hmm.
but, of course, are not really there quite yet. And one of the most common of the aqua constellations that we do see in this field is the one that you mentioned, which is a cognitive development to teal or turquoise, in other words, the integral stages, and a center of gravity that's at green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the self line, the values line, needs line is at green, pluralistic, cultural creative stage. And so their walk and their talk don't quite match.
That's right.
And that gets them into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And it even gets, I'd say, early stage teal or early stage integrals into trouble too, because they can also have, you know, a bit of animosity towards kind of the mean green meme.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that isn't very respectful or enabling of, you know, to kind of pull the people who are actually, you know, really solidly living out the green altitude
right.
forward the way they're, you know, we're all longing to move. And, you know, so that's really interesting to see is that, you know, we've defined even within a level that what we've seen, again, by our knowing of clients is that there's, it looks very different at the earlier wobbly stage of entering a level
right.
than it does at the solid or the kind of, you know, things are rocking at the level that you're living at versus the disintegrating phase when that level is kind of no longer supporting you anymore. And what we found with clients is that even though we could say, okay, they're definitely at a green altitude, they look very different at wobbly when, you know, they have kind of like wobbly colt legs and they're not quite standing in that new place and they, you know, keep kind of stumbling around and yet it still feels like home versus solid where you're just humming along at orange or green or teal versus disintegrating where I have glimpses of the limits of this level. I don't have something that I can step into, which would be wobbly next stage. Things are just kind of falling apart for me, and there's like a mini death going on that I don't quite get. And so what we found is that, you know, especially at green, if you take somebody at wobbly phase integral and have them interact with strong green, you know, there's not necessarily mature development being, you know, represented by that early stage integral with, you know, strong green human being. And so that's another thing that we've just seen that's, you know, quite interesting just in integral circles around, you know, how can we, you know, smile at ourselves at, you know, seeing wobbly at teal and solid and disintegrating as we get to know these higher levels with more and more efficacy over time as more and more of us, you know, are there.
Yeah, probably the most common dysfunction in integral circles is a hyperallergy to green.
Mm-hmm.
And that's come, you know, again, because it's just come through green. And it's like a reformed smoker. They're just impossible around smokers, impossible around green.
Yeah.
And so they overlook the many gifts of green, the civil rights movement, feminism, equal pay for equal work, environmentalism, ecological concerns, all of that came out of the early green movement and is to its everlasting credit. But you don't hear much of that from somebody who is just frothing on the mean green meme and all of the negative aspects and shadow elements that all stages have. And certainly green has an abundant amount.
Can I add something there, Ken, because there's one other point I want to say about the levels lens, the way we've been working with it, that arose for me as we were just talking about this. And one is that the way that we teach using this lens is that this is about helping the coach get attuned to where the client is living, where their center of gravity is. And while there's certainly an appreciation for where they're heading, meaning, you know, if they're at disintegrating orange, okay, they're heading towards wobbly green or whatever. So there's an appreciation for that. But the way in which we teach the coaches to use this lens is it's not to try and move them vertically, deliberately. It's not about how do we get them up the to the next altitude and the next color. But so it is about how do you work with your client as an amber, how do you work with them so they're filling out in the amber world?
Right.
So that their horizontal growth is healthy and robust and that if there is movement, then there is supporting that migration from amber to orange. But the coach's job is not, you know, there isn't a measurement called I'm successful if I move my client to the next level.
Right.
So that the way we train the coaches is to actually appreciate, so what does each level actually contribute?
Right.
What are the gifts and what are the things that that level contributes and what are their challenges? What do they face at that level that's unique to that level? And so that is one of the things I just wanted to point out as we're talking about the movement up and down and the different altitudes is just how we're holding the lens, that particular lens.
Right. There is kind of a transformational fury that goes on in consulting groups and seminar groups and weekend workshops. And to hear them talk, you would think that the only thing in the world to do with your life is to transform. But if you transform to the next level, then what do? Well, you have to get back to work transforming to the next level.
Yeah.
And then when you're there, what do? Well, keep working and transform. There's another level. And so you're forever doing something other than living.
Yeah.
Not exactly what we want here. So teaching people to live the life that they're at in healthy and functional ways is the best and really only place to start. And doing that as a side effect happens to be one of the few ways we know to get people to transform.
Absolutely. Yes.
But that is not the primary goal of it. The primary goal of it is this is where you're at. These are the multiple intelligences that you have. This is where your quadrant lens is, and so let's just get to work. And then as that happens, the likelihood of vertical transformation increases.
Exactly.
Which is good.
Yeah, exactly.
But exactly. Not the be-all and end-all.
No.